Let's talk about it.
Hello and welcome back to Thick Radio, the podcast where we talk about gaining, feedism, and everything in their orbit. I'm James.
And I'm Tim, so let's get into it. Today we're welcoming to the show for the first time. Today we've got our good friend Cam.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing good.
Good. Oh, look, thank you so much for joining us today. We've been looking forward to this one.
Thank you. You know, I've been listening to y'all's show for a good while, so it's exciting to be here for the first time.
It is funny to think, I'm pretty sure back before we started Thick Radio, I'd probably had a conversation with you about like, oh, of course we'll have you on. We have to have Cam on. We must make this happen. And it's only taken 3 fucking years. But hey, we're here. No.
Life just happens that way. So it's all good.
And you're still currently in school, aren't you?
I am, yeah.
Yeah, so that definitely, I mean, your education is obviously, you know, priority.
You say that, but there's definitely been times where I have prioritized the big boys and fatness over my schooling. So, but you know,
that's just being young. That's just being young.
Yeah.
Young, dumb, and full of donuts. well, not you, the other ones. But that's beside the point. We'll chit chat around all of that. But today, doll,
absolutely,
we're going to be talking about something that we all love. And upon reflection, I realized we hadn't actually talked about this yet. We're going to be talking about gainer art, right? And it is funny to think we've done at least 2 episodes focusing on fiction and creativity and yada, yada, yada. And we've also talked to some kinksters who share particular kinks and maybe create images in relation to said kinks. But we've never necessarily dedicated an episode to the seminal form of art that is the visual image. So listen, Cam, are you ready to get into it today, doll?
Let's get into it.
Let's do it, babes. Okay, so first off, let's start from the beginning. A very good place to start. When did you first develop a sense of wanting to create your own art?
So I've always been an artist, and that was usually drawing like Pokemon or anime characters that I like, that always been a passion of mine. However, just being older, realizing what I liked, I was very active on DeviantArt or Tumblr and would see all sorts of gainer artwork. And it kind of occurred to me, you know, sometimes I wasn't seeing exactly what I wanted to see. And so it kind of just became a natural thing. I mean, I would be in class and I would doodle very often. And I just started drawing little big boys here and there, kind of in the margins of my notes. And I started trying to make a more active effort to create that art. And so I decided maybe I should be posting this. I think it'd be kind of cool to see where that went. And so I just really started putting myself out there. It's kind of nerve-wracking at first. I would literally like have to take, because I wasn't doing digital artwork at this time, and I was by no means a professional. And so I would do drawings on a sheet of paper and would just take my phone and like hover over it at an angle and like capture the image and make sure I didn't have any shadows. It was the dark ages, but that was kind of when I first started wanting to create art.
No, it's really cool to hear, because like, I don't know, I feel like everyone, no matter what they end up doing, has like an inception moment that kind of triggers the brain to be like, oh. Because I mean, I've told the story about like, oh, what made me want to get into podcasting? Tim sort of shared his as well. So I think there's a similar crossover, right? Like you're just sort of going about your day, week, month, year, and then seemingly out of the blue, you come across something and you go, oh, this has taken over my mind. I must do the thing. And I think for people who don't experience that, maybe they listen to it and go, I don't know. But when you're in it, you're in it. And I think people who are in it get it, right? I mean, Tim, what about for you? Because you're not a drawer yourself, but I mean,
no, I wish I was. When I was younger, like in high school, I took art every year. And I was able to like kind of recreate like from life. Like I was pretty good at life drawing, and I was pretty good at like copying something that I would see. But I didn't really develop that skill after high school. I kind of just, because in my senior year, I became interested in photography. And then that kind of took over everything.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose it's a bit different. Like, Cam sort of expressed a desire to want to create art because of that artistic, creative energy within him. You pursued art because you wanted to be a French woman.
Yes.
Two very different motivations. Not to scalp you this early in the episode, but
I know.
it's never
Yeah.
too early for a good scalping, you know. But I mean,
Oh,
on that subject of art, and like you'd mentioned, Tim, some of the things that you had liked to do, Cam, like what was some of the like who were some of the inspirations you've taken from when it comes to the art that you create?
that's a tough one. I thinking about like in anticipation to this episode, I was trying to think like, do I have a list of people who would have inspired me? And it's not as simple as that. Of course, there's, and I'm sure we'll talk about this later in the episode, there's the late great Warren Davis. Actually, I don't know if late, but he's no longer around, Warren Davis. There's creators like Garth Dude, Get Bigger, who were very popular when I was in my formative years. But honestly, just like the cartoons that I would watch growing up that had their, every cartoon had like an obligatory fat episode where they would show some of the characters getting big. That was always really inspiring. Just the people I would see in my day-to-day life. I'm from the great state of Texas. There's a lot of big boys, and that certainly had an effect on what inspired me and kind of what has motivated me to keep drawing.
No, I like that. And I suppose as well, like people ask, it's a bit of a typical question, isn't it? Like, oh, who your inspirations is? Degas, I like, I like Iris van Wern, I like Van Gogh, I just really like, I don't know why I'm being South African right now, by the way. It's parent.
I couldn't even
Is that what
discern
that
the
was?
Hello, my name is Jules. Turn left at the lights at the robot. I'm from South Africa. I speak Afrikaans, and we sort of talk. And then South African is very like, and I sort of talk very softly like this, and I sort of talk in a very, very lightly intoned voice like this. And you don't know whether I'm being shady or whether I'm having a very earnest conversation with you. South African listeners, feel free to write into thethickradio@gmail.com and let me know if I'm full of shit or not.
And don't sue us.
But like I said, it's interesting because like it's a bit of an obvious question to ask, oh, who are your inspirations? What do you do? Whereas for you, it's obviously like bad boy art and just seeing the art
Literally.
and then just kind of moving through it, which I suppose is probably what most people would do, right? Like, at least these days.
I would think, I mean, it's like fat people just exist and we love them. And so you kind of just pick up a pencil and keep it going from there. It doesn't really take anything particularly like revelatory in order to figure out what's inspiring you about it. It's a desire for all of us, and so we can just create going from there.
Yeah. I mean, what does creating gain art specifically do for you that the typical consumption of gain art does not do?
Oh, that's a tough one. I probably separate it into two things. The first one is it's sort of like wish fulfillment. And then the second one, I guess they kind of support each other. The second one, though, is I enjoy scenario creation, like creating a certain like vibe, certain aesthetic, like getting to see that and taking what's like in my mind, the thoughts that I have about Gaynor artwork, and then putting that into an image that people can consume. And so having that and like seeing it through to fruition is a really amazing feeling.
And I suppose as well, and to bring this in here, because you yourself are not a gainer, and actually you're one of the people who I think of because you use a specific label of enabler, which
Right.
we've talked about this, and maybe at a future date where we can go through it and hash it a bit. But as someone who is a non-gainer, do you feel that there's an element in which, like, I suppose for non-gainers within the space, there is a sense of when it comes to fat boy, your participation in the process is to facilitate growth or to facilitate some kind of appreciation for a larger frame. Do you feel that, like, maybe when you create art and it's something that can be consumed by others and appreciated by others, that that's maybe your way of continuing that facilitation in a way?
Perhaps. I think, I mean, one comment that always makes me really happy is when someone messages me or comments on my photo that whatever that I just drew was inspiring to them in some way, that it makes them want to go pick up and get some food, or it's what helps them kind of want to become bigger because the image that I've crafted is something that is an aesthetic or goal that they're trying to reach towards. And so in that way, I think it's not necessarily my goal, but it's really, it always makes me happy. It's certainly a positive positive externality that that happens when I do create. I wouldn't say though that it's a goal. I hope I answered your question.
No, I think that's fair. I mean, it's a little bit like, again, I would relate to it through the medium of podcasting. Like, we didn't get into creating a podcast to specifically get feedback that says, "Oh my God, I like what you do." But obviously, whenever we do have people who send us a message to say, "I really like this episode," or "I really appreciate what you do," it really does like scratch a satisfaction that you didn't know that you wanted. But once it's there, you're sort of like, oh yeah, like that is nice. It's a nice side benefit. It's not a requirement, it's not the goal, but it is nice to have.
I mean, that's very human. All people want some level of validation, whether they choose to admit it or not. Like every human being wants to be validated in some way, so.
Definitely.
I mean, even on the topic of, let's say, popularity. Right, I think that's a big thing in the community. People argue, is it good? Is it bad? Do we have too much or not enough? What's the disparity? Let's have a conversation. And I think a lot of people end up in that space where they kind of throw a lot of shade on people who objectively have a lot of it, because there's some perceived notions that are maybe high school informed about how this type of stuff works. But at the end of the day, I think if any one of us listening, or even here on this call, were to be inundated with tens of thousands of people shouting their praises, giving them a bit of love, you wouldn't knock it. You know, you'd be saying, oh my goodness, thank you. How wonderful to be loved and adored by so many people. So, you know, I think maybe there's an element of touching base with that kind of a reality. Even if it's not your lived experience, you know, you kind of go, oh, it's nice that other people are having that, you know? Because I don't know, do you observe that sometimes within the artist space? I mean, this is a big presumption, assuming any of y'all talk shop in a sense. But is there ever a sense of maybe you look at certain artists who maybe they get different commissions or they post more or have a higher following? Like, is there a dynamic there when it comes to popularity or engagement?
Yes, artists do, we do talk shop sometimes, though it's not normally from a popularity lens. Now I can say from just observations, I think that is conscious on our mind is we know what y'all want to see. Like we know exactly what y'all bitches want to see, and it does not go unnoticed. And so having that in our mind can be it can be frustrating at times. Like this past summer, I was taking a break because I just wanted to do art for me and not have to worry about how other people might perceive it or what their opinions might be or the reactions I might glean from it. And it's because I know what will succeed. For example, I know with fan art always does better than anything, any other type of artwork that will do, because if you're a fan of something, you're of course going to want to see that. I don't really do a lot of fan art, but I know that it's like if I really wanted to, I could drop like a drawing of like Tim Allen that's done a lot of weight, and I've done that before, and it does really well. If I wanted to do maybe something that's more popular in the community, like Pig Play, for example, those drawings do extremely well, and so you kind of have that in your in the back of your mind, and we artists know how the art we do will be perceived, and we might know when something's a little bit more of a risk or when something is going to be really well received.
It is really interesting to hear that because, again, it's that thing of for many of us who don't create the art, we see the art, we observe it, we appreciate it, and then we move on. We don't think about the kind of not to say production like it's a machine, like a capitalist venture, but we don't see the wheels turning. We don't see the behind the scenes. And so it is interesting to know that there is that kind of conversational narrative. It's interesting to know that there are these discussions, almost a shared intelligence of like the recon work that's been done. We know what they like, we know what they don't like. It's very fascinating to hear those bits. So if any other artists listening want to share their thoughts and experiences, please reach out to us at the usual channels. We'll talk. But I appreciate being able to hear this, right? And to pivot slightly off your bits and pieces, I think what's the term I'm looking for? We'd be at fault not to mention Warren Davis.
Right.
As the seminal artist, the Grand Mac Daddy of gain art, right? So, to ask you, what's your opinion of the Warren Davis art? What kind of an impact did that have on you when you first saw it?
I mean, Warren Davis is like the and that bitch, like the people. I'm a Zoomer, Gen Z, and we use the term like the blueprint. Like Warren Davis is the blueprint for gainer artwork. You can't have enjoyed gainer artwork without first having seen Warren Davis's stuff. And so, infinite flowers to him. And I think it's funny because he didn't really do any of the stories. Those were all done by other authors who I wish people would give more credit to. But he was able to make an image of very hot fiction that people liked, and in a series chronological way, to see that growth, to see the over time. And I think that is not something that's often done by a lot of artists. I mean, in terms of like contemporaries now, really only one person does something to that level. And so I think like even just the extent to the art, like the type of art and type of creative project he's putting out is just another level. And so it makes all the sense in the world that he's so powerful in the community. I mean, to this day, if you went on a Grommer, there's going to be someone who's uploading a drawing of Warren Davis, like, oh my God, this is so hot, y'all. And it's like, this is almost 20 years. This is 20 plus years old now. Like, we've all seen this, but they still do it. So his impact cannot be understated for sure.
It's like I've said before, he's kind of the Betty Page of this community. Like, appears out of nowhere, becomes wildly popular. The art is definitely what you could call pinup because it's very reminiscent of Tom of Finland, which was meant to be reminiscent of pinup art during World War II. So, and then just vanishes without a trace. I really wish somehow we knew the whole story, and we may never know the whole story.
We don't speak
But
that out into existence, Warren Davis. this is your message. We are pinging to you from beyond the stars. Reach out to us. We would love to do an interview. And the thing is, right? Like, I understand, like, no one is obliged to share their stories if they don't want to. But certainly Warren Davis is someone who I think, like, girl, if we could get that man on the show, I'm putting that fucking episode behind a goddamn paywall. I'm putting the Patreon up. You pay me $50.
Oh,
Every
come
bit.
on.
$50. Because we would have done the damn thing. But seriously, like, he's one of those people who I genuinely think can't be understated. I mean, his stories are why I started gaining. I always reflect on Doughboys. And even to this day, that story, that artwork, it just hand in hand. Mwah. There's nothing
Yes.
quite like it. Nothing quite like it.
No, the mystique that Warren Davis has because of, as Tim was describing, the way that they kind of were huge on the scene and then gone without a trace. I mean, I wish I could replicate that. Like, right, if I've thought several times, what if I just deleted like myself from the internet world, and then like, would my art be memorialized like this? Probably not. But
You never know, though. You really don't know, because like, I feel like, you said you're part of the Gen Z generation, and like, I think for me and James, who are millennials, like he was saying, that was his introduction to the gainer world. It was kind of my introduction in a way. Like, I found a few other sources before I found Warren Davis, but like, I think artists like yourself and the ones that are creating work right now will be exalted in the same way, and will be by Generation Alpha, when they come along and they're of age. Like, your artwork could be the introduction for a member of Generation Alpha.
Maybe I don't know, because like I was saying, I mean, Warren Davis to this day is still like vastly beloved in this community, and I don't think that's necessarily going to change. His work has been really well archived. Maybe Warren Davis left because he didn't want to hear everyone coming up to him being like, "Oh my God, you're the reason why I'm doing this." Because if some like Gen Alpha came up, if I'm like 10, 15 years from now, if someone came up to me like that, I would feel like the gray hairs like come across my body. I'm like, oh my God, no, don't say that. Of course it's very sweet. But yes, yeah, so Warren Davis, how their impact has been. It's of course we need to give them their flowers, and obviously it's not their fault, but sometimes I'm like a little frustrated because there's other very extremely talented artists who don't seem to get credit and recognition by the community because people are still like talking about how awesome like Doughboys is. Great story, great art. There's also more out there being created every single day that just doesn't really get much recognition, which is sad.
I mean, I think this also comes back to something that we've said before. I know it's probably like the top requested critique of Groma is people demanding a story section. People want the opportunity to share that creativity on a forum where like-minded people can receive it. And I do think that maybe part of the reason why Warren Davis did so well for himself is because, no shade, of course, to yourself and other artists, but it's a little bit like Drag Race, right? Like back in the days, like OG Drag Race was haggard, grizzled old bitches who've been doing this shit for 30, 40 years. They've got nothing left to lose, so why not throw their raggedy ass on telly? And oh, they came out with a line. It's a catchphrase. Wonderful. What's a catchphrase for a drag queen? Who the fuck knows? Now you've got professional queens who, from like the ages of 11 and 12, started watching Drag Race, and now they've been working on their mug and working on their catchphrases and getting themselves ready to be a RuGirl, Same shit with the artwork. During the time, there probably wasn't a lot of people creating fetish art, or at least at such a grand scale. And because there were so few forums online where people were congregated, that maybe that's why they all saw it. And maybe that's why it was so impactful, because it was the only art. It was the only repository for stories and fiction at the time, unless someone ran a blog. So, I think there's a logic that we can apply, and maybe, again, much like older queens from Drag Race early seasons, if they took them from season two, season three, chucked them on season 16, maybe they wouldn't perform and stack up so well. Same thing with Warren Davis Art. If he was creating stuff today, who knows if it would
For
stack up to
sure.
the skill and quality that we see today. But we don't know. However, I do agree with you. There are so many talented people, yourself included, who don't get nearly enough shine because people are too busy talking about that. I mean, do you ever get people being like, hey, could you maybe recreate this Warren Davis piece and maybe complete the story, or I like how this image went, but can you take it in a different direction? And they're basically just trying to use you as like an AI generator to like continue a narrative.
No one's gone that far. I mean, even I've wanted to. Like my favorite story is Super Heavyweight Class, and it was he didn't finish all of the, like he didn't draw the full story. And since I've been like, ooh, it'd be kind of fun to try my hand at that. But no one has asked me that specifically. I do get the question, do you know Warren Davis? People have asked me to like do certain characters from his stuff before, and so I don't have any issue with that. I have done some similar work, but you definitely his presence is felt. I often get the comparison to Warren Davis, which is fine. I mean, certainly he has had a demonstrable effect on my art and my style, so I don't take full issue with it. It's just unfortunate because, like we were saying, there's some really good artists out there. They're doing some really good stuff, and they should get their flowers too.
Now, on that point, there was a listener question. The question was, what is your favorite Warren Davis story? And you shared that that was Super Heavyweights. But let's pivot then. What do you think is his most underrated story?
I did a on Instagram probably like 2 years ago. I did a poll that got almost like 200 responses of everyone's like favorite Warren Davis story, and of course Fatburger won by a pretty substantial margin. Then I think Super Heavyweight Class got second or maybe third, and then Burger King. It either Burger King or Super Heavyweight Class were second and third, and then the other ones kind of had middling responses. Now I would say his most underrated story. Oh, that's tough. Shit. Okay, I love. I really like parts of real estate development. That's the one where a like office worker has a boss, and his boss has like a ball busting wife who's trying to put him on a diet, and so the employee just keeps like bringing it his boss like food and fattening him up. And I always thought that was really fun because it's like truly like the dream, like if that could be my life. However, that one, I don't know, sometimes when we kind of cross into a realm of the a lot of gay media has like a, this is a whole other conversation, but like the unobtainable, like this is a straight man, like you're not gonna end up with him. And so sometimes that kind of like sours it for me personally. But I really like real estate development. And then I do enjoy the Feast of San Girano a lot. And I don't think that one gets enough credit. That one's a little the what do we
Well, the
the
ending, it's a bit wild, but
yeah.
we all
Y'all
jerked at
kind of
the ending. Don't lie. Don't lie now. You won't
Well, I
count.
think we all jerked to the ending because of that specific image of Sal sitting like with his back propped up against the food stand with his belly so large and like his I think even the seams of his jeans had split open at that point, and like he's just this
No.
giant blob of
It's funny you
yeah.
mentioned the Feast of San Gennaro. It just dawns on me that actually my personal aesthetic, I'm working on becoming the messenger boy, like shirtless with the stash, cap on backwards, and just
Yeah.
fat overflowing as I like ride on my little bike with a burger in the hand. Oh,
You
that's so.
know, this is like a whole other conversation. Bring me back on for another episode, but we needed like talk about how, not to say that these stories are problematic, but there's some like weird elements in the Feast of
Yeah.
San Toronto. And then like, I mean, take Fatburger. It's the most popular one. Like it blows my mind, like realizing this as I was older. It is the most popular story by far. The fat man is not even a character. Like he's like a prop for the guy
Yeah,
who
and
trained him.
it's completely non-consensual.
Yeah, it's but you
There,
know
well,
it's
look at
yeah.
joining the force. Joining the force can be very triggering because it involves the police, and that's one of my favorite ones. I think the one that I think is the most underrated is Merlin's because it involves instantaneous weight gain, you know. And there's that scene where the big guy lays back on the pool table and he just expects like the hose and the keg to be fed to him, and you know, he just keeps growing and growing and growing, and you know, I tend to like things that involve a little bit more instantaneous weight gain than slow progress.
Okay. Yeah, I enjoyed Merlin's Law. I think I probably like Roydgut a little more for that, just because when the ending scene where he goes back to the gym and goes in the back and like blows up really big, and the super heavy weight class has some of that too, so it has a lot of fun moments.
My favorite has got to, is hand down Doughboys, because and I remember I can visually recall the scene that I very first came to, and it's the one where it's not the first night of the sex, it's afterwards where he's like, I'm not gonna be like one of these fucking loser fat asses, I'm gonna go in and prove him wrong. And he goes in and it's the guy who was the new guy before him, he's there and he's like, man, you gotta try some of these new biscuits. You gotta try some of these cookies. Go on, you gotta put some ice cream on it. And he's just wolfing it down, and he puts his dick in his hand, and he's like, "Give up. Just get. That's why you came back, because you want this." And I was like, "Yes, I want this." And I blew everywhere. I don't give a shit who knows it. It was so good. I remember, like, I had to stop the story, and I went straight to my freezer and like ate half a tub of ice cream. And considering I was like a weaselly little 100-pound nothing at that point, I felt real proud of myself. I could do that without thinking these days. But shit, that was the moment, bitch, that I was like, okay, this is for me. This is me forever, and I'm so happy with it. And for me, the underrated story is Belly Boy with a Badge. That's the one with the security cop that goes around the food
Yes,
court.
that's a good one.
Love that. Love, love, love that. But no, I think you're right. It's going to be interesting, I think, maybe to have a conversation about the narratives, right? Like, strip away the specific fetishistic element, but like, what are the narratives that we sexualize, and what does it mean, and how does that influence? And I think that's going to be a good conversation.
Oh, please bring me back for that. I've got my encyclopedic knowledge ready for it.
Well, I mean, here's one for you, because as we mentioned before, you identify as an enabler, and we won't ask you to give a whole spiel here today on that if you don't want to, but just for the people who might not identify or understand that as a label, how do you see it as distinct from the typical admirer, encourager, feeder role?
Sure. So the TLDR is when you think of a feeder or an encourager, it's often from a lens that's very, it's like it's an active process. You're making active steps to do it. When you want to feed someone, you do all the steps to have a feeding session. Whereas for me, an enabler is a bit more of a holistic passive approach where it's like, okay, I'm not necessarily like feeding him, I'm not engaging in these certain acts of feederism, but I make sure he has all of his favorite foods around. And it's sort of just imagine the most like cartoonish levels of hedonism and gluttony. That's enabling, like making sure that they can do that. Because I think something that's underappreciated about gaining is that obviously for some people, it's not necessarily a natural process. People have to, you have to put a lot of effort to get bigger. And so I think encouraging and feeding is from that lens of like, okay, we're pushing to make that to effectuate that end result. Whereas enabling is more of like a passive approach to that.
And so, do you feel like that specific designation, this idea of being an enabler, do you feel like that lends itself to the art that you do? Like, do you feel that that's a thing that carries across in your work, or maybe not so much?
No, 1000%. When I was mentioning, you're asking me about like why did I first want to start drawing, and it was because a lot of what I was seeing art-wise was certainly hot, but not exactly what I like my specific taste. Because a lot of gainer artwork is like force feeding. It's like, oh, we're gonna have this guy tied up and like we're tube feeding him, and that's all well and good. But I was like, what if I just had like a fat dad sitting on a couch and he's got all this food around him? That's what I wanted to draw. And so I just kind of went with that and rolled. And that's where we've been.
I'm going to ask something controversial here, and you can answer this question any way you like.
Oh dear.
Do you feel like some artists charge too much for their stuff?
No. Pay your fucking artists. I mean, most artists, it's like people are probably in the at like lowest 50 to 100 range, sometimes more depending on what it is. Art is hard. We're all busy. If you want it, pay your fucking artists. It's that simple.
What's that TikTok song? It costs that much because it takes me fucking hours or
It
whatever.
does. This shit takes forever. Like, I need people to understand. I will sit down and do a drawing and like, okay, I'll go through all the steps. I've drawn the belly. And then I'll sit there for a second. I'm like, he could be fatter. He needs to be fatter. And then now I just spent like another 2 hours of my life continuously just making him bigger because I kept on being like, no, he's too small. Like, and so this shit takes time. So I need people need to cough up the money if they want something.
100%. And I want to be clear here. Obviously, asking that question, one, to be incendiary and be fun, but two, because it is a conversation that should happen, right? Like, I think when people talk even about generalized content, weighing in on paid content, we talked about this, right? Like, how do you determine the cost of something? Is there an idea of managing that on a community level? And ultimately, there isn't. You know, there is no legal precedence for this. It's just a bunch of hoes out here, every man for himself, trying to do what's right. And one could argue that in order to value yourself, you should charge a higher amount. But I think it's a good conversation to have because I think sometimes people do come out with these lines, especially with the advent of AI art. You know, a lot of the rhetoric I certainly saw people posting about was, now I don't have to fucking pay for bullshit art. And it's like, well, you've got weird looking dudes with munted faces and 12 toes. Like, I don't know that you're as successful as you think you are. You know what I mean?
I've seen a few accounts pop up over the last couple of years where they're pushing a lot of like AI art that they've created, like using Wonder or something. And it just does not look good for the most part. Like, there are some people who know how to manipulate, like keep running the image through the program over and over and over again until they get something that looks decent. But, you know, again, you're not drawing it, you know, you're just typing in a prompt in the computer. I don't think that that makes you an artist. Like,
I'm so unbothered by AI art in the sense of its threat to gainer artists. I mean, of course it's bad. There needs to be regulation, all sorts of things. We need to change the norms about it. But from a gainer art perspective, it can't, like, when you think of, we were just talking about Warren Davis. Why do we enjoy Warren Davis? Because of certain scenes that he was able to bring to life. That is the important thing about Gaynor art. And AI art can't do that. It's going to be a fat guy who looks the same, who's weirdly proportioned, just standing there, like being like it being hot. Like you can't, like I have
It
a
can't do a sequence of any kind, you know, like it couldn't
right.
create like a comic for you. Like I've seen some Gaynor artists that are able to do like a comic strip essentially for someone to live out an entire fantasy that they have. And AI art's not going to do that for you. Like you said, it's going to be one image. And even if you tried, I think, even if you tried to like take that same image that you've created and try to progress it into something, the computer's not going to understand that. You know, because it's only as good as its programming and it's all binary code, so it's not going to understand nuance.
Even beyond that, I mean, you can't craft a certain like image in the sense of like we were talking about Warren Davis and how he would often draw people's jeans and like pants ripping out the seams. You can't have that level of specificity. You can't have that level of like certain details with everything. I mean, fat is so unique and diverse in how it can grow or change and all that good stuff. And so you're just not going to have the type of stuff people want to see.
You know, something that I really do sit on quite a bit, and I, again, this might be something controversial for people, but I do believe that, you know, people will say this, like, oh, something is the great unifier. I think fat is actually the great unifier when it comes to diversity, right? Because when you consider what does queerness look like, what does blackness look like, what does anything look like, you know, things exist on a very specific spectrum of intensity, shall we say? Whereas with fatness, because fat encompasses the entire human body, and because the human body can come in so many different heights, shapes, colors, forms with ability and whatnot, it's actually the great unifier of diversity because there's so much, there's an endless amount of ways in which you can appear to be and be considered fat. It's wonderful. You get to not only be a part of the great collective of fatness, but also be unique and individual within your fatness within that space. So I
Completely.
think there's absolutely something to be said about that when it comes to the idea of art, AI art capturing fatness. Whose fatness are you capturing? You know, what idea of fatness are you capturing? It's very limited. It's also an art form that can only exist based on what it's told about. Which is the great idea, right? The more people input, the more it'll learn. But it's not really learning. Because if a bunch of fat fetishists are just inputting the same things that they want, you're only going to get one idea of fatness. You're not going to get something unique and new. It doesn't have the ability to create something new. It can only create what has already been created using an art style that it doesn't even own. So you're not actually getting anything genuine. And you know that, right? When you get to AI art, there's certain pieces of AI art where I've looked at and gone, oh, wow, how incredible that using a particular couple of filters and a couple of descriptive words, it's created such a specific scene for me to look at. But I've never been aroused by AI art. Do you know what? I'll be honest here. I've tried. I can't do it. I can't do it. Cam, your art, I absolutely have. Not gonna lie to you, it's been fantastic. My compliments to the chef,
Oh my God.
shall we say.
Thank you.
But like, I tried with AR and just it doesn't. Because obviously, like everyone did, I downloaded the app and I was like, well, right, well, what's gonna come out? Beep boop beep boop. And like I ran it like 10 times, being like, okay, I get it. Okay, but when's it gonna get good? Okay, but
Right.
and it never did. So
You
it's
know, I gave it a try too, and similar results, but I did have fun with it when I did things like I would type in like Lucille Ball as a vampire queen, and like I would get some really interesting stuff, like you know, because these are people that have been around for forever, and their images are all over the internet, so it could compile a much better looking picture, you know, because there's thousands of portraits of Lucille Ball, so like to see her as like a vampire queen. That was, and I just did that with a bunch of old movie stars. I was like, oh, let's see, Cary Grant as a paladin, and you know, like I had fun with that.
You know, maybe as like, not to say a training tool, but maybe if it was like, okay, maybe I'm approaching you, Cam, for a piece of commissioned artwork, and I'm sat there really struggling to paint a picture of what it is I want to do. Maybe I create a piece of AI art using some of those prompts, and I finally, after thousands of regenerations, stumble upon a vision where I'm like, okay, this is giving the direction. And then maybe I submit that to you, and I'm like, I've just created this. This gives you maybe an idea of like, you know what I mean when I say I want him looking that way, when I want this person standing like this, or when I want it kind of like that. Like, maybe that's a way we can use it as a tool without running afoul of some of the issues that people have brought up in recent years.
For sure. I mean, I think it's undeniable to say that it has no benefits at all. It's a tool. I mean, I've seen some very funny AI generations, and that's, I mean, it's where AI really gets into trouble is when people think that it's gonna like somehow magically replace artists. But if it's you just want to do it for fun, I mean, I remember seeing a an AI piece of Miss Piggy like testifying in a divorce proceedings with Kermit the Frog. I thought that was hilarious, but using it for like, oh, look, we've now replaced artists, we don't need them anymore. It's ridiculous.
So something I want to ask here as a point of curiosity, because I have a piece of Gaynor art on display here in my living room. Listeners, you won't be able to see this.
Yeah, okay, yes, I remember this.
So I'm so proud of, first of all, getting this done, paying to have the actual original image shipped. I've got it framed, I've got it up there. I'm so proud of it. I'd love to be that person who, like, when I live my white fantasy in the future where I like own property, I want to have my fat room where it's like every artist in this community, I want to commission a bitch to be like, I want a 2x4 of me in whatever mode I'm at. I want it in your style, and I want like a montage, just like a wall of art. You know, just narcissistically, but like, fuck, I'm beautiful. Why not? But here's my question for you. What is your thought on the actual displaying of Gaynor art in the home? Because I feel like most forms of queer art don't really go that far. Most people love a little something postmodern. Most people, and if they do want something kinky, it's usually like a little something on the bookshelf wedged in there. But something of size, literally. Something that is in the space where people can see it. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that would be cool. I mean, at the end of the day, if it's in your home, you're probably only inviting people who would be receptive to seeing it. So I don't think there's any issues with it. I think that is really cool. I can't remember who it was, but a few years back, I did a, they're called YCH, Yitch, where your character here, and I did the iconic, does this look like a little wait to you scene from the Santa Claus, and where people were able to like pay to have themselves in that scenario, and someone paid because their friend, it's like their favorite scene, so they paid to have their friend kind of in that scene, and they went and got it printed out and framed, and they have it hanging up, and I was like, oh my God, that's so sweet, it's so touching. So I think it can it, I think it's really fun. I think that's a good way to enjoy art. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think it could be powerful to see that. Certainly a lot of ink for the belly, but definitely fun.
I did that with a friend of mine commissioned something from Pup Space Silver for me, and it was a photo of it was a Halloween party. I went as an orc, and my boyfriend went as a hobbit. And so my friend commissioned Pup Space Silver to draw us as the orc and the hobbit, you know, in their style. And I have it on full display. You know, I don't care who asks about it.
Yeah,
I was
there
like,
you
it's a
go.
great piece of artwork. It was a really wonderful gift. I don't give a shit if people are like, well, that's kind of weird. I'm like, well, it's then look away. It's my
Right?
house. I can, if I wanted to put up a painting of a slaughtered pig, it's my business. Like,
100%. And you know, I love what you said. There's almost a source of pride when you see it, because even though I didn't create that, it is based on a photo of me, but also is it weird to say that even though I didn't create it, I still feel like I contributed to the process? Maybe because it is an image of me, so I submitted the photo, but it feels like somehow, and again, it's not saying like I created it, because I'm not saying that at all, but it's like somehow I feel an ownership of it. I feel a pride in it. I feel a,
You were the model, so I mean, you do have the right to be
Sure.
proud of it as the model. It would be like, say, if you went to a life drawing class and you were the model, and one of the artists who created something said, "Would you like to keep this?" You should be proud of it because it was your body that inspired them to create their piece of artwork. So.
Displaying art is a totally normal thing, so definitely makes sense to me. But
Have you ever thought about potentially branching out into like 3D art? Like if you could get like a one of the poser programs and learn how to do 3D animation, would you?
it would be cool. I'm not tech savvy at all, so it seems very daunting. It would definitely be cool. I've tried animation once, and it took forever, and I'm like proud of the end result, but it is not good. I'll have to show y'all sometime, but it's I definitely would like to do more sometimes. Like my dream vision, if I could do anything, was, because I love cartoons, and it would be nice to do like a more cartoon style of some of the characters I draw, and then have them in like little in animated, like certain scenarios of like of yesteryear, when you think about some of the fat cartoons we would have seen as we got older, drawing and animating things like that. But that's a pipe dream.
I wish that I could get into like and I could. It's just a matter of money because those programs are expensive and they're not user friendly, so you have to actually take classes on how to use it. But you know, as a person who's both into gaining and macro, you know, I wish that I was tech savvy enough to download one of those programs and like create my own series and revolving around that, because I do follow a lot of people in the macro community who use those programs specifically to create those fetish scenarios.
Yeah, I've seen those. They do some good work.
And I like that. I think art is something that's always really intrigued me because I was never able to draw characters, but I can draw maps. Right? Because it's not Gainer related, but it's interesting, right? Like I always thought it was like, oh, what could I do with this? And yet, you know, there was a time on the internet where my versions of Pokemon maps were some of the most popular there were online, because you commit to doing what you're doing and you get there. But I've really enjoyed this conversation around art. So to close out here, I want to ask you, for anyone listening who might be considering exploring art for the first time, maybe they themselves are an artist and want to lean into creating Gainer art, or maybe they're just interested in knowing more about art in general. What advice would you give to those people?
For the people who want to try art, it's the most simple advice, but it is nonetheless the truth. You got to pick up a pencil and start drawing. You just got to keep going. And to have like a little more concrete advice, take what drawings you like, take the stuff that really just clicks for you, and trace on it. Like just start getting a feel for the movements of the pencil and getting to that end result. And then what you're going to start noticing is you're going to make different choices than what the artist made, because that's all art is at the end of the day. It's a series of choices, and that's why AI art will never approach real art, because the machines can't make those choices in the same way that we can. And so you just start making different choices, certain things that click for you, and then in several years from now, you'll have your own style and feel confident. That's what worked for me. I had always been drawing, but I didn't really draw like big boys in that way. And if I look at some of my old stuff now, I would melt. But in the years since, I've really come to my own, and I feel better about that. So you just gotta pick up a pencil and start drawing. In terms of the people who maybe want to like just understand art a little more, Gainer artists are usually pr we're pretty okay about talking about our art it at that level, because we don't get those types of questions very often. When you would come to us and try to get art for free, we're gonna shut you down real quick, because we have a sixth sense for that. But if you genuinely are just interested in the creative process, all that good stuff, absolutely reach out to your favorite Gainer artist, talk to them about, ask them about like the decisions that they made that ended in whatever drawing that you liked, like how that came about. And that'll definitely be a good conversation starter.
I love that. And you know, even to reflect on the podcast, when I've gone back and listened to some of our early episodes, I'm a bit like, But you know, that's life. You know, there's this part of me that wants to, even so far as like, ooh, I need to go back and update the show notes with all of the new information, and I need to do all the, but no, actually you don't. Like, it is what it is. Leave it, let it go. Don't allow the quality to irritate you. Allow it to challenge you to improve. If you don't like the way that it is, work to improve it, work to make it even better, you know? So,
Yeah, it's
yeah. But this has been wonderful having you on, Cam. Thank you so much for joining us.
of course, I had so much fun. It's awesome.
Oh, marvelous. Now, listen, where can the listeners find you online?
So I'm Bigger is Best 7, and I am on Instagram and I'm on Twitter for X, whatever the fuck. I have a Tumblr. I don't post there. It's just a backup for whenever Twitter eventually kicks the bucket. But yes, I'm on there. I also have a Patreon if you feel so inclined to support. No stress, obviously not. But that's where you can find me.
Oh, love that. Well, listen, that's a wrap for now here on Thick Radio. Please remember to like and subscribe, rate us 5 stars, and leave us a good review. Now, if you liked this episode, the podcast, or just us in general, share it with your friends and encourage them to tune in. You can find me on Instagram, Blue Sky Now, Beefy Frat, Stuff and Show, and Oh My Nom at Stanum.
And you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, TikTok, and Beefy Frat at Thicky Mouse. You can also look us up on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok at Thick Radio, or at our website at www.podpage.com/thickradio. If you want to submit a voice note or become a supporter of the show, you can find the links in the show notes. And if you have any questions or ideas for episodes, you can reach us at thethickradio@gmail.com. So until next time, bye, fats.
Bye, fats.
Bye, fats.
Let's talk about it.
Thick Radio is a Patreon and Anchor app podcast produced by Stan and Thicky Mouse.
Mixed and mastered by Stan.
Our artwork is provided by Lokitu.
Our theme song is provided by Bonfire Tree.